Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This episode is brought to you in part by Purina. Purina is dedicated to creating richer lives for pets and the people who love them. From helping older pets think like their younger selves to making cat ownership a possibility for more people than ever, Purina is helping pets thrive so they can live long, healthy, and happy lives. Purina has you covered for all your furry friends' needs, whether they meow or bark. From litter to treats to their best-in-class, nutrient-packed food with taste your pets will love, Purina's got your back at every stage of your pet's life. Your pet gives you the joy of the spring sunshine all year round. So today and every day, care for your pet with Purina. Your pet is Purina's passion. To learn more, head to amazon.com/Purina.
From the halls of assembly, you'll hear us scream and shout. Our love of Indiana is manic and devout. Everything I do, we discuss in unique manner. We won't be satisfied until we hang another banner. Us two goofy guys go by names of Ward and Eric. And as you probably know by now, we're Hoosier Hysterics. Hoosier Hysterics. Hoosier Hysterics.
Hello, Ward.
Hello, Eric.
How you doing?
I'm not sniffing a weird piece of nylon.
Oh, if by weird you mean the championship net that I cut down 2 weeks ago, then yeah, it's weird.
It wasn't 2 weeks ago.
A week and a day ago, I guess.
Yeah, get it together, dude.
It feels like it's been a year, and it feels like it was yesterday to me.
I mean, it definitely feels like a year if we're talking about how much you're talking about it.
Yeah, well, I just feel like
the sniffing part, the sniff, it's like you've sexualized it, which I really resent. It's Indiana basketball. It should be more pure than you sniffing it.
Well, you can call it sexualizing it. I just think smells like victory.
It sounds like Vince McMahon.
What movie?
Any Given Sunday. I don't know.
Apocalypse Now. I love the smell of napalm in the morning. In this case, I love the smell of nylon in the afternoon.
Are we done with this bit now?
You don't seem like you're in a great mood right now.
Well, I mean, it's just like I knew I was going to have to live with this championship thing for a while.
Right. It's only been two episodes.
So, but it doesn't mean I'm going to enjoy it. The whole thing is I was dreading having to live with it, and now I am. And yeah, it sucks, just like I thought it would.
But you know that when you tell me it sucks, that just feeds the beast. I just want to do it more.
You know I'm so happy for you.
There we go.
Sure, I would have loved to win it, but I knew how much it meant to you, and I love that for you.
You know who else finds it insufferable and was worried that it would be insufferable is our good friend Evan Martin, because we are
powered by
CommunityCars.com. Sponsor of the Hoosier Hysterics, CommunityCars.com. Hoosier Legends talk with Ward and Eric, CommunityCars.com.
By the way, I have it on good authority that Evan Martin and Community Cars is the go-to car dealer for Indiana University men's and women's basketball players when they need a car.
Why wouldn't it be? They got great cars, they got great deals, and they got great people.
And they're not jackasses.
No, that's why, as long as you're not a jackass, that's where you should buy your car.
That's exactly right. Great people. Do it by phone, do it over the internet, do it in person. Whatever kind of, do it by phone is not great, right? Or do it over the internet. That's probably not something they want.
No, but look, we overpromise and underdeliver.
We tend to go the opposite way. Listen, it's a big week not just because of our guest, who is a big guest, literally and figuratively, because of all the drama surrounding getting him, but it's a big week, Ward, because it's IU football week. It's Buckeye week.
I mean, all of not just Hoosier Nation, but College Football Nation wants to know who's kicking for Indiana.
All right. So you knew we were going to talk about this.
I teed it up for you, buddy.
I was hoping you wouldn't have seen it because you and I have talked about this in the past, about the secrecy around who's going to start and the advantage that you think you can gain. And by the way, it is only a week one advantage. If there is any incremental advantage, it's only week one, because after week one, either the guy is good enough and you know that he will start, right? So that there's no surprise.
Wait.
Or he sucks.
Are we talking about a quarterback or a kicker right now?
I'm going back. I'm starting at the quarterback stuff,
okay,
because
yeah,
there's still that controversy. They're not controversy. There's still that mystery as well. But my point, and I want to dig into this, because my point is it's only good nominally for week one. Because after week one, either the quarterback that you played sucks and nobody cares, or he was really good and then there's no surprise. If he sucks, well, then the team doesn't even care. I mean, it's like, we get it. So, but Tom Allen has taken it to a new level. For anybody who did not see the report, Indiana, it honestly has been an object of ridicule since the press conference today, because Tom Allen announced that while we have a starting kicker, he is not announcing who it will be. Ward,
look,
you've
it.
Been on me before about my quarterback problem.
I get it. Look, Ohio State is game planning. They're scheming. They're trying to figure out, is it a left-footed kicker? Is it a right-footed kicker? You know, I mean, these...
Are you sure that our guys are one of each?
I have no idea.
But here is why I think the thing is so stupid, Ward. Let's just do a couple, an exercise here. You agree that the only reason that he's doing it is because he thinks there is some advantage to it, right? As minuscule as it might be, he thinks there is some wiggle in the margin. And if you're going against Ohio State, you find it anywhere you can possibly find it, right?
The only other possibility I can think of is he knows it's going to create a firestorm on social media and that there's no such thing as bad publicity.
Yeah, that is bad publicity. When they are making fun of you because you have not announced a kicker, that's bad publicity. But just go with me here.
Yeah, I'm with you, buddy.
That is why you keep it a mystery. Okay.
Yes.
So by not saying who the quarterback is or who the kicker is, which just makes me laugh, but by not saying who the quarterback is, what you are hoping is that the team you are playing against prepares for both guys, right?
Yes.
Okay. So two reasons I think this is stupid. One, then just come out and say, we're going to play both guys probably an equal amount of time.
Okay.
That's one.
Okay. It might be lying, though. I don't know how you feel about lying.
I love lying.
Yeah.
I love it.
But Tom Allen's such a better guy than you.
Bullshit. He's lying in a different way. Well, no, it's not bullshit. He is a better guy than me. And I love Tom Allen. But here is my point. If you are playing the strategy game and you think there is room to gain an advantage, he has said, Ward, that he knows who the starting quarterback is and that the quarterbacks know who the starting quarterback is and that the team knows.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Then come out and announce the starter as the other guy. If you're
lying,
trying to gain an advantage and you think that Taven Jackson is your starter, come out and say it's the other guy. And then when they ask you about it, go, yeah, I changed my mind last minute. There is no penalty for it. You don't get paddled. You don't get docked pay. Why would you not do that if you are actually trying to gain an advantage? Then come out one time, you only get to do it once, and lie. I'm being dead serious here. I'm being dead serious. I want you to tell me why I'm wrong.
I just, as soon as I saw the headline, and the subsequent tweets by other people raking this move over the coals, I was like, this is tremendous. This is going to drive Eric up the freaking wall, and I'll have a front row seat for it. And here I am. I don't have a lot to contribute besides laughter. Sure, I agree with you, but the level to which it upsets me is very dissimilar.
The idea of it, as you know, bothers me more than it bothers you. The idea of not announcing, because I just think it's Bush League.
Doesn't bother me at all.
Right. Fine. So let's take that off the table. Then it's about, okay, you're not announcing because you think you're gaining an advantage. But if you actually wanted to gain an advantage, then you would tell them the wrong starter.
Yeah, that's what you just said already for a couple minutes, right?
So The stupidity should bother you.
No, look, man, it's the world I live in. Stupidity, I feel real good in that space.
I just think, and I'm not calling Tom Allen stupid, because I love Tom Allen. I love his energy, his passion. You'll never find a guy who loves Indiana football more than Tom Allen. And I want this guy to be successful. I love the guy. I want to run through a brick wall. We've talked about it. Every time we've talked to him, we want to run through a brick wall. But if you're making a strategic decision here, then go all the way with it. That's all I'm saying. And badass would it be if he just lied about who the starter would be?
Well, you might want to run through a brick wall when you talk to Coach Tom Allen. When one of these press conferences goes down, it's like you want to just bash your head against a brick wall. And to me, I just see there absolutely being no significance, no impact on game day one way or another. He says it, he doesn't, he's ambiguous, he tells the truth, he lies. I don't think it matters. Ohio State is the opponent. And frankly, I'm terrified.
Yes, I am terrified too, but it did get me worked up, and I have never heard of a football team not announcing who the starting kicker is. I mean, it is remarkable.
We're making history here.
Where are you attacking?
There's a fly. You know, he's going to bother me. I'm not worried about it so much with you. I want to assassinate him now, so when our guest shows up, I won't be distracted.
We had a fly outbreak in my house about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Because unbeknownst to me, in our pantry, a Coke can exploded.
Ooh.
And it leaked everywhere. And I didn't know because it was at the bottom of a stack. So all these flies were coming out for that.
Yeah.
Ward, I am not kidding. I murdered 70 flies over the course of like 2 days. And it was so satisfying.
Yeah. Yeah. It can really get obsessive. Our daughter will leave the doors open to the deck. And not much, but enough. And usually I think one or two get in, but they breed. So then 2 days later, suddenly there's 15 of them swirling around. And I kind of can't rest until they're all gone. I'll sit down on the sofa and watch TV, but I have the fly swatter in hand, and I'm just like a dog with a bone.
Well, and the worst is when you're watching TV at night, it's dark, and the one fly lands on the TV.
And then you splatter it on the TV.
And by the way, I'll sacrifice a $2,000 television to kill a fly.
It's the only, at that point, you're not even thinking about the TV or your bank account. Just kill. Kill is the only thing on your mind. Yeah.
It is a zero-sum game between us and the flies.
Collateral damage, it's going to happen.
Yeah, it's fair. It's totally fair. All right, listen, we covered football. While I am nervous as hell for the game and scared as hell for the game, I'm also very excited to put on my football jersey and get excited about watching Indiana football. I get excited every year. It's going to be a tough year, but it is a brand new team. I mean, we're going to have a new quarterback. We've got an entire new basic offensive line, almost a brand new defensive line, new linebackers, new D-backs. I mean, there's a lot of new faces in that are going to be playing a lot of minutes. And as you know, as we've talked about, it's all about the quarterback. And either way you cut it, we're going to have a different quarterback. So yeah. I am excited to see what this portends for the future of Indiana football.
Yeah. And look, it's never bad to get the most terrifying opponent out of the way and be like, hey, it's all downhill from here. And look, I'm sure Michigan's right up there in that conversation. Again, I'm not sure where the preseason rankings are right now, Michigan versus Ohio State.
It's Ohio State 1 and Michigan 2, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, yeah, as is to be expected. And yeah, look, let's see what we're made of. This whole idea of, you know, Woody wanting to play the best competition in the country before the conference. Well, obviously this has conference implications, but it's just like, it's going to let you know where you stand from day one with one of the absolute top programs in the country.
And I will tell you, I think the Big Ten and college football has it right. Opening day of college football or opening weekend, get the big boys. I mean, granted, we're not a big boy in football, but they're playing a conference opponent.
Yeah.
There's some big games to start the college football season. I love that. I don't like college basketball where the first games are typically against awful teams that no one cares about. Get a couple huge matchups. There should be a definitive opening day and play some big matchups on day one to get fan attention. I love it. I think it's great for the sport.
It's just good to have football back. As you know, I think of summer as sports purgatory, phrase I credit to our mutual friend Nick Hoffman, because baseball ain't my thing. So that football is back in effect. It feels right. It compensates for having to be driving kids to school again. And it just gives the weekends a focal point.
I totally agree. Basketball, college basketball's bit of a purgatory right now because August is a basic dead period, not a lot going on. Teams are back, schools in session, practices have started. But the big recruiting news for Indiana, even though there are some major visits coming up, but the major one is the weekend of September 8th to September 10th, when not one, not two, but three kids from Mount Verde, Derek Queen, Liam McNeely, and Curtis Givens, come by Indiana for a major, major recruiting weekend in Bloomington.
Do you think it would be overkill if we organized a ticker tape parade on Kirkwood when they went to like dinner?
No, that seems par for the course for us.
Yeah. I think, you know, that would really make an impression. You know, Texas isn't going to do that.
We come popping out of a giant float cake.
maybe we have the cheerleaders do that. Maybe that's more effective.
I agree. All right. You know what?
What?
We've been wanting this guy on our podcast for a long time. Let's get to it.
You know what that reminds me of on the Jack Sparrow song, you know, Lonely Island. They did that.
Let's
song.
Let's get about, to it.
Yeah. Michael Bolton. That's good.
Boys, let's get to it.
This is the tale of Captain Jack Sparrow. Oof, good luck on editing out of that.
Pirates so brave on the seven seas.
What?
Here comes our guest.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, he's here with us today for the very first time. You want to talk about big man on campus? He is our big man on campus on our basketball team, but there's a lot more to get into. Eric, why don't you run it down exactly who this brand new guest is?
I mean, this interview is special for so many reasons, and we're going to get into all of them. But here we have a gentleman hailing from Winchester, Indiana, where he attended Winchester Community High School. He was the Tri-Eastern Player of the Year, an IBCA All-State performer. He averaged a double-double his last 3 years in high school. He then, of course, decided to matriculate at Ball State, where he was Kyle Macy Freshman All-American Team. He was the NABC All-District Second Team. He was the MAC Freshman of the Year. He was All-MAC Third Team. He was made the MAC All-Freshman Team. The third most points by a Ball State freshman in program history. And then in his second year, which of course he joined forces with Hoosier's own Michael Lewis, he was All-MAC Second Team as a sophomore. He was a two-time All-MAC player. He started all 62 games that he played in two seasons for Ball State, 22 double-doubles. And then he decided to go look for a different place and maybe achieve a dream, a lifelong dream. He entered the transfer portal and, of course, decided to come, let's just call it home, to Bloomington, Indiana, where he has decided to become part of the Indiana University basketball team. And above all those accomplishments, just this last weekend, he was the coach of the winning fantasy camp championship team. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, my coach, my championship coach, please welcome Peyton Sparks.
Thank you.
Well, we're doing this, buddy.
We are finally on here. I'm excited.
All right, well, let's get into the hard-hitting questions first before we talk about our championship that you and I have.
We're going to say you can talk like about your championship for 2 minutes, and then we're cutting it off.
All right. 2 minutes more than you can talk about it.
Oh.
Do you want to talk about how I beat you in Pig and one-on-one?
We can. Ooh. We can talk okay. about the individual.
Well, that doesn't involve Peyton. That's just you and me exactly. and taking you down.
But let's get to the hard-hitting questions. Peyton, why did you ignore me for so many months when I tried to get you on the podcast? Why did you ignore me?
Hold on. I didn't ignore you. I just didn't know who was texting me, to be honest. I had to put a picture to the face, honestly. And when I got to see you and meet you and have a week with you coaching you, it was, you know, no-brainer for me after that.
So what you're saying is the incessant texting – made you think I was a crazy person, which
is fair. Not that at all. I just didn't know who you were, and I was like, I don't know. But I'm glad I got to meet you and great conversation with you. And yeah.
Look, Peyton, if I may, I just want to say I really admire you for ignoring all those texts from Eric. I try to do it sometimes. He wears me down, and that you were able to do that for so long to me commands respect.
Okay. I'll take it. I don't know.
Well, what I was going to say is, Peyton, it's usually the opposite. It's usually once people meet me and have a conversation with me, then they don't want to talk to me anymore. So you actually went the opposite, and I like that.
Yeah, I like talking to you. Good guy. So, yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. Peyton, we're going to get into the fantasy camp weekend, but I just want to get into school started this last week officially. It's Friday right now when we're recording this. You're finishing up your first week. Obviously, you had the summer. But just tell us kind of what's going on right now with you at Indiana. What is workout schedule, you know, balancing with classes? What's going on in your world right now?
Yeah, we just started school. So just getting, you know, affiliated with all my classes and stuff. So I got class Monday through Thursday. Friday, I don't have class, but I still got homework to do. Workout-wise, we work out Monday through Friday. We got weights twice a week right now, conditioning twice a week, and we still have individuals on all those days too, and extra work to get in. But yeah, that's pretty much really what my schedule is early on here in the beginning of school until we start up a practice, but I don't know when that starts.
Got it.
You know, Ball State, great school, great campus, great coach. But now you're at the greatest college in the world, greatest campus in the world, greatest students in the world. Do you feel that now that you're an Indiana Hoosier? You having fun? Like, that's what we think of as being Indiana students, is fun. Are you having a good time?
I'm having a good time. I don't think it's fully like sunk in for me that I'm actually not my dream school. So, I love it here. The people are amazing. Just everybody, you know, brought me in and, you know, showing me the way around here is nice. I don't think it's fully sunk in yet.
You know, we actually didn't meet you in person, but we did get to see you in person. You won't remember this, but Ward and I last season attended a Ball State practice. It was, I believe, was it at the end of the year, Ward? Was it February? Yeah, close to the end of the year. And you actually had to leave practice early because you had to go take a math test. And you like had to sprint out of practice. You remember that?
I remember that. Now. Okay. Yeah. I remember you guys were sitting on the sideline. Yeah. That was a fun practice too. But I remember that. I do remember that.
I want to ask you about you talked about individual workouts that you have.
Yeah.
Look, you're an upperclassman now. You're a junior. You've been working out. You know, you've been playing high-level basketball. Division I, MAC is a really good basketball conference with really good basketball teams in there. When you're doing individual workouts right now, first off, who are you working out with mostly? Is there like a coach assigned to you? And what are the skills that you are trying the most to kind of work on?
Right now, I'm working with Kenya and Calvert right now. They said we're going to start working out, watching film now this year. What we're doing is stuff. It's just I'm trying to work on is just expanding my game. I'm just an interior force, and like I just like rebound the ball, all that stuff, putbacks. I'm trying to like get my shot, shoot the mid range, my ball handling, so I can bring up the ball a little bit too. And I'm just trying to work on my condition. That's kind of been a problem for me last couple of years. a weakness of mine. I've been trying to work with that, Cliff and the coaches, coaching staff, and all that stuff. But no, that's really what I'm trying to work on right now.
Okay, let's take a moment, because you will now be the first player who can tell us what it's like to be on the court getting coached up by the man, the myth, the legend, Calbert Chaney. What's he like to work with on and off the court?
Off the court, he's a great dude. You know, he texts me, he wants to work out, and I want to work out too. And just, you know, getting to know him, he's a great dude. And he's just a family dude, and he tells us what it takes to, you know, win and all that stuff. On the court, he just, like, you just understand him. He knows how to play. He's played at the highest level. And just hearing wise words from him and just getting better every day just makes you want to get to the NBA and get to your goals. So, yeah.
Now, you share – your games obviously are very different, but you share one thing in common, which is you both shoot lefty.
Yes, yeah.
Does he ever show you that mid-range or three – smooth left jump shot that he had? Does that ever get broken out in practice or workouts?
I don't see it in practice work, but like I walk in the gym, he's in the gym because I'm coming from class, and I see him shoot. I'm like, whoa, okay, he still got a little, still looks like he can move up and down with us on the court. So I mean, I feel like he still got it, but you know, he's kind of keep that in his bag.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your roommate, another newbie to Bloomington, Anthony Walker, somebody who has been on the show, and we ran into Buffaloes, and that's how we got to meet you for real for the first time. Just seems like a great dude. Tell us about you and Anthony, how it's going being roomies.
He's just a really energetic guy, real smiley guy. He's just a great dude. He comes from a great family. Rooming with him is great, you know. He cleans up after himself and all that stuff, so I don't got to worry about all that. But, you know, playing with him, I played with him first time when he got here a little, not too long ago. I'm amazed just how he just brings energy on the court. He plays a lot of defense. He's an athletic dunks, but he's just a great dude. And I'm ready to, you know, start winning some games and championships.
It seems like you and him could see some action out on the court together and just really, really bring it. When you guys are running in practice, are you often on the same squad?
Yeah, when we were in practice and stuff, we were on the same squad. But it was great. You know, we were just feeding off each other, and it was really cool. And I was really surprised at like how athletic he was and what he brings to the team. And he dove on the ball. I think it was his first play in the scrimmage. I'm like, okay, that's kind of what I like doing too. So just firing up the team, and he's just a hardworking dude.
I will say, and Ward, this does not count as the 2 minutes, okay?
I'm starting the clock.
No, it doesn't count because it is meaningful as it pertains to Peyton as a basketball player. As you know, I can't do much on the basketball court, but I try to draw charges. And my coaches were Mac, Anthony Leal, and Peyton, again, championship coaches. But when I drew
10 seconds,
that counts.
2 minutes.
But I will say, when I drew the charges, I would, like, you know, we're adults living out a fantasy, you know, life during this camp. I would look over to the coaches because you want to impress them. You want to impress the coaches. The one guy who was always so excited every time I drew a charge was Peyton. Like, you were out there slapping my hand. It seemed like that was a part of the game that you really respected. And you've talked about already on this call that you love rebounding. You love diving on the floor. Mm-hmm. Can you just talk about what it is about that part of the game, those kind of unsung things that you love?
It's just, I want to win at all costs. I'm just a real competitive guy. You can ask anybody. Just what I got needed to do to power up the team and get the team energized, I'm going to do it. And that's just a big part of my game. Just a big part of who I am. I just want to win at all costs. That's pretty much it. And I'll do anything for the team.
We've heard from unnamed sources, the sky's the limit on the potential of the team this year, but that maybe the team overall needs a little more dog in it, a little more nastiness. Is that something clearly you're going to bring to the table. Do you notice that starting to rub off on maybe some of your other teammates who aren't quite so gritty on the floor?
Yeah, I think we have the dog in our team. I mean, we haven't played any games and stuff like that, but scrimmages, but everybody has it. It just needs to come out. I feel like I can help the team and bring that out of some people. I'll do it, and I think I will be able to do it.
I'm going to go out of order just a little bit here, Ward, because I just can't get over this part of Peyton's story. Peyton, you were an All-MAC player.
Yep.
You guys had good crowds last year at Ball State. People starting to come to the games. You got to play at great places like Akron and Kent State, you know, difficult, mm-hmm. tough teams. Obviously playing in the MAC is tough because right now it's a one bid league and you got to win that conference tournament to make the tournament. But you were the primary weapon on your team for 2 years. You could have continued to do that, or you could have gone somewhere else where the path to being the primary guy was clearer. Where at Indiana, there's a ton of competition there. And obviously, exactly. you're going to play, obviously. But mm-hmm. this isn't the case where you transferred and were guaranteed a starting spot or exactly. anything like that. What was that hard to make that decision? And why make that decision to kind of give up some of the, let's call it, glory of individual achievement to play at Indiana?
Was it hard? I would say at times, like during the process, because I was in the portal twice, my freshman year and my sophomore year. So my freshman year, I was like, I don't think I'm ready. I feel like I still need another year under my belt to just put my game on another level. And I think I did that in like this past year, just being able to see what I was able to do. And I just wanted to be pushed to another level. And just seeing what Woody was about and this environment over here at Bloomington, it's just amazing. And I just really couldn't pass it up. And when IU said they wanted me and it was mutual interest, I was like, I can't pass up on this lifelong dream of mine. And yeah.
Love it.
Well, so how we do it on the show here, we jump into the hot tub time machine. We're going to go back to Winchester, Indiana, mm-hmm. young Peyton Sparks. Tell us about how you found the game of basketball, how it found you, how you became a basketball player.
Really, basketball was my second sport. Baseball was really my sport. That was kind of my dad and I's thing was baseball. And then I'd say around fifth, sixth grade, I told my dad I didn't want to play any baseball anymore. And I was like, I want to focus on basketball. And he told me, is anything you want to do, you just got to do it to your best ability. So I started playing basketball in second grade, and I played it, and it was fun and all that stuff. But I just wasn't really serious about it until I got to sixth grade, and then I just was playing AU and practicing and all that stuff. So, but yeah.
Well, first, baseball. Did you have a team that you rooted for, a Major League Baseball team?
Yeah, the St. Louis Cardinals was my
yes!
team.
God,
still is.
Yes!
This is rough.
Still is my team. But I was a big Albert Pujols dude. Like, I had his jersey. I had his number. Like, I had five growing up. That's, like, my favorite number. But, yeah.
Ward, weren't you number five at the camp?
I was. It was my tribute to Albert Pujols, for sure.
Are you – Peyton, are you number five at Indiana?
No, I'm 24. That was my sixth grade number. So I was like, I want to go back to like my roots and like play like that way. And Coach Lewis at Ball State, he's like, you got to get my number. And I'm like, okay, if it's there, I'll take it. But we'll see.
That's
well,
great.
You and Michael have a very similar game. So I can see why he wanted that to you.
Yes.
But basketball aside, you know, I'm from Peru, Indiana, home of Kyle Macy. We know you have that connection with Kyle winning the Freshman of the Year award, but Peru is twice as big as Winchester. We got 10,000 people in Peru. It's a big city. What was it like growing up as a kid in Winchester?
Winchester's a small town, really small. I mean, my graduating class was 110 people. So, you know, I mean, it was just, I had a really great time growing up. You know, we could have moved and all that, but I love my friends and the people there treating me amazing. Yeah, it was a great experience for me. I loved it.
And what else did a young Peyton Sparks get involved in? Like, forgetting baseball and basketball, when you were hanging with friends or on your own, what were you into?
Video games, that, and, you know, I don't know, like, we just used to hang out, but we play sports with each other and stuff. Like, it wasn't like, I mean, we did other things that were fun, but like, my friends and I were just playing sports and all that. So it was like swimming. We're going to see who wins, all that stuff. So,
yeah. All right. Give us a favorite video game of all time.
That's hard. I can't do that. I don't know. I got a top three.
All right. Give us top three.
No order. Madden, 2K, okay, and Call of Duty. So, yeah.
There you go. Now, your roommate, Anthony Walker, claims to be like an expert, semi-professional gamer. Has that come up? Is that competitive juice flowing through the apartment for video game competitions?
Well, I don't have a system at the moment, and I haven't really played serious video games since like my freshman year of college and really my senior year of high school. So I might have to get a game system and play, but I haven't really challenged him because he says he's really good, and I feel like I'm really good. You know, I got to be competitive and stuff. So,
right.
But I feel like I can beat him. So, okay. Yeah.
Okay. So you get into high school, and you know, you play freshman year, but then things really explode sophomore year, junior year. You really start taking off. At what point, I mean, you even said sixth grade with AAU, you started taking it seriously. But when did you realize that there was a future for you in basketball beyond Winchester?
I really had a lot of confidence in myself young. Like, I would say, like, there was a future for me was, like, sixth, seventh, eighth grade, just because I was starting to get taller than everybody. And, like, I don't know, everybody, like, my coaches were like, you take this serious, like, you can go pretty far with this game. And I just was always in the gym and just always working. I always had confidence in myself, and I was not going to let myself not make it to the Division I level. So I just loved working out. Just seeing that in myself and just putting the confidence in myself, I was not going to shy away from the Division I level.
And when was the first time, whether it was a game or practice, doesn't matter, when was the first time you dunked the basketball?
First time I dunked was ninth grade. I was trying my eighth grade. I was 6'3" in eighth grade, but I couldn't palm the basketball. So that was the struggle, like, my whole eighth grade year. But ninth grade, it was in warm-ups, and I was the freshman on the varsity with all the seniors. It was me and seven other seniors, and they're like, did you just dunk? I'm like, I don't know, I think so, I don't. But nah, that was my first time really dunking, and ever since then just been trying to tear the rim off. So
yeah, we've heard that about you.
Yeah, that's what I like to do.
Love that.
Have you ever damaged a rim or backboard in dunking?
I broke a rim at the YMCA in my hometown. So if that tells you something, but that's what I did.
Did they charge you for it?
No. Actually, I posted it on my Instagram and they liked the picture. So they didn't do nothing, but the Wines said they love me over there and we have a great relationship. So it is amazing. So
now around the same time that you were dunking the basketball for the first time, is when Christian Watford hit that shot against Kentucky. And I'd read that, you know, you watched that and you just thought it was incredible. They took around down the number one team. When did you become an Indiana fan, and how closely did you follow the team through your youth?
Like that around that time, a little bit before that, is when I first started becoming a fan. Like that night in the game, my mom let me stay up for the first time. Like, yeah, you can stay and watch the game. So I'm like, okay, yeah. Then I'm just seeing Christian Watford and just seeing players like Will Sheehy, Cody Zeller, and Victor, and I don't know, just a whole bunch of players. I'm like, I just want to play there. And just seeing the crowd and how everybody loves him. I just wanted to be a part of that.
Let's also not forget Jordan Hulls, who is now one of your coaches.
Yeah, yeah.
What is it like to be playing for, you know, with a guy, you're playing for Jordan Hulls, who you grew up kind of like idolizing that team, or at least that team was really influential for you. How is it with Jordy?
He's a great guy. He's always there, you know, need him if you want to talk. He's always in the gym. You want to work out. He's always working out, guys. Just being able to see like an Indiana legend, it's kind of like you're starstruck at first, but you're like, oh, he's just, you know, he's just like you. He's playing at his dream school and all that stuff. So, like, it's cool to see Calvert and Woody and Jordy there. So,
well, and then let's just go quickly to FanFest. You get to see Christian Watford go back out on the court. You know, a few fans missed the shot. Christian missed his first shot. What was it like to see him drain the second attempt and rush him on the court and celebrate?
Oh, that was a cool moment. It was really dope to see that. You know, the crowd was going crazy, getting one more shot, and just seeing him hit. I'm like, wow, I was kind of watching how I was watching TV back then, and just seeing him hit the shot, I get to see it in person. It was just a cool experience.
Ward mentioned between your freshman and sophomore year in high school, things really picked up. And I think it's like, that is an understatement. I think you averaged about 5 points and 5 rebounds your freshman year. And then sophomore year, you're scoring triples, you're rebounding doubles. And obviously you grow up, you physically mature, players leave, but did something happen to your game between your 9th and 10th grade years that allowed for that jump in production?
I would say I just learned how to work hard. I always thought I was working hard and all that things. And my trainers they kept pushing me and they say, you can go to another place. And that's what I really wanted to do. And I was like, I want to play Division I basketball. And I'm like, I got to have a better year than I had my last previous year. So that's my mindset with everything. Just, you know, going to the days, I want to have a better day than I did my last day. So.
Yeah. When you talk about trainers, did you have trainers in Winchester, or would you go to Indy, or I mean, where'd you find them in such a small town?
Well, my neighbor is my trainer. He does like the off course stuff, like the weights and the conditioning stuff like that. And then I had also his name is Barry Miller, and then I had my basketball trainer, Thad Lautenbacher. He played at IUPUI for a little bit, played semi pro, but he's the one who saw me at the YMCA, and he's like, you need to like quit. He used to joke around. You need to quit baseball and focus on basketball. And, you know, I kind of did that my sixth grade year. And then ever since then we worked out together, and he's always been there for me. They both have. And yeah.
When you played baseball, did you swing lefty or righty?
Righty. I can swing both ways, but righty was my way.
We're just going to clip out you saying you can swing both ways.
Yeah. Thank you. I was not even going to go there. I thought about it in my head. Should I say that? But yeah.
Join the club. We say weird shit all the time on this podcast.
We will.
Okay.
If there's any chance to go there, we will.
All right. Now look, tearing the backboard off and just attacking the basket and dunking on somebody is got to be the best feeling in the world. We wouldn't know, but it feels like it would be the best feeling in the world. However, hitting a baseball is often called the hardest thing in sports because you're hitting a round ball with a round bat that's moving upwards of, you know, 95 miles an hour at the highest levels. How good does it feel to hit a home run? Because I'm sure you hit plenty of home runs.
Yeah, that's
got to be a good feeling.
Yeah, that's what I like to do. I like to. You can't even like explain how great of a feeling that is. You know, you can hear the contact of the ball, and then you can see it go. It's just like slow motion. Once you hit it, you see it, and like it might go over the fence, and you just see it, and you're like, "Dang, I just hit a home run!" And you just want to keep doing that. But I don't know. Hitting home runs and pitching and playing first base was my thing. So, yeah.
Oh, you pitched? You were a pitcher?
Yeah.
Pitch righty or lefty?
Righty.
Wow. So you, how does that happen?
Dominant. You are cross dominant, right? Have you heard this phrase?
Yeah. Ambidextrous, something like that. Yeah.
We'll see, because I do some things left, some things right, and it was somebody on this podcast, I can't remember now who, but even talking about it with Calbert, that he's cross-dominant too, where some things better left, some things better with right. And he was saying that a lot of guys who will shoot left are actually better dribbling with their right. How is it for you?
I would say that, yeah, I like to dribble with my right better than my left, but like, yeah, I kick a soccer ball with my left foot. It's just, I can write, like, writing, I can write with both my hands. Like, I don't know, it's different. Like, when I was, like, picking a mitt with my dad, and I wanted to, he's like, pick a mitt, you want it left or right? And I picked both, because I was thinking I could do that, you know. But and then I was like, he's like, no, you can't do that. And I'm like, okay, if I picked either or, I feel like I'd be, I don't know, it's just, it is what like that is. I don't know, but it's different. It's weird, and people are like, you're weird for that. I'm like, I don't know. It's just who I am, you know.
Can you you shoot free throws left-handed?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you should shoot them right-handed after that percentage last year. But hey, we don't need to get into that.
That was bad. I was in a slump. I've never shot free throws like that bad in my life. So like that was a mental block for me. But I'm starting to get out of it and. You know, yeah.
Can you shoot them right-handed too? Like, are you that ambidextrous?
I used to shoot right-handed.
Wow.
So I switched. I was actually shooting with both hands, and I said I was shooting my right. So, yeah.
I mean, since you shoot with both hands, have you thought maybe just go granny style?
For fun, like when I'm messing around or stuff like that. But yeah, I seen, you know, who was it? Rick Barry do that?
Yeah, right? Exactly. I think the all-time free throw leader. I mean,
saw his son was shooting like that too. So I'm like, maybe I should switch, but nah, I don't know.
I want to talk for, look, you obviously you go to Ball State. You had offers to go to a bunch of different places. But you weren't recruited, I think you weren't recruited by the Indianas of the world, right? Was that frustrating for you? Like, did you think at that time that you were good enough to play at that level and people just didn't realize it?
It was frustrating because around that, like, Indiana was, like, kind of recruiting me, like, my junior year, but they wanted to see me in AAU. So COVID happened around that time, and so I didn't get a chance to go playing against front of those teams. And, like, the mid-majors were still here wanting me and things like that. Like, it was frustrating. Like, I know I could play at that level, but maybe it was just God saying I wasn't ready at that moment to go play.
Peyton, real quick, on your AAU stuff, you played for Midwest Basketball, right? That was your AAU program. But I might be confused on the timing. Was it COVID that prevented you from playing AAU your last AAU season? Or did you choose to... I thought I read something that you maybe even chose to work more on conditioning and strength training than play AAU ball your last
season. Yeah, it was like I was going to play for Midwest and they just canceled the gauntlet and stuff like that. And like I'm like, well, I'm just going to take this summer and just train a little bit. So it's kind of both, I would say.
Do you think that hurt you as far as being noticed by other schools too? Do you think that prevented maybe more bigger schools from coming in?
I mean, I think it hurt everyone, but yeah, it hurt me too because I'm just at a small school and like they're not going to be able to come down and see me. But like, it just made me work even harder. So
before we get to the recruitment by Ball State and the decision to go there, let's talk a little bit about your family. We did get a chance to talk in Bloomington. You got a younger brother. He's a skater. He's a musician. You know, what's your relationship like with him? Do you have any other siblings, you know, parents? What's the family dynamics there?
My brother, you know, we got a great relationship now. I mean, you know how brothers are. We got a 4-year difference. So, and he's a junior in high school. So he's got his own thing. He's got his own crew and all that stuff. So he's a great dude. And he's smart too. But I got both my parents too, Brian and Tracy. Yeah, they're great people too, and I love them to death. And they took me to all these AU tournaments and practices and workouts. And you know, they've always had a dream. They always wanted me to follow my dream, and were always on my side, wanted me to go. So, yeah.
What's your brother's name?
Connor.
Connor. And does Connor know that Indiana University has a great music program?
I don't think he knows, but he's like more of like a trade school type thing. Like he likes working on cars and stuff like that. So
nice.
But no, nah, like the music thing's for fun. He likes video games. So yeah.
All right. So how did Ball State separate themselves from the rest of the pack of schools that were recruiting you? What was it about Ball State?
It was Coach Whitford. Just Coach Whitford and Botts, Coach Botts. And just the, Whitford's like, we really want you. We really think you could succeed in this program, and just the way they play. And I'm like, he's just a great dude. And just looking at his resume, and I don't think I could have passed up and had a better experience with him my freshman year. And he taught me a lot. And just Botts, you know, him from being from Muncie, and you know, we kind of like the hometown kids, if you want to say that, like close to home. And he's a great dude too, and he's always been there for me. He still is.
So an interesting thing develops for you after 1 year in college, which is the people that recruited you are no longer the coaches. And sure. The coach is gone. In comes Michael Lewis, former Indiana Hoosier. And the other thing that I would say that happened is, you know, your team struggled your freshman yeah. year. You had a great year, but you didn't experience wins. Crowds weren't good. It was kind of the tail end of a bit of a struggle era for Ball State. Mm-hmm. And here comes a new coach. He didn't recruit you. He's got to build a relationship with you quickly to try to keep you. What was your first impression of Michael? He's been on this show many times. Michael's a friend of the show and friend of ours. What was your first impression of Michael, and why did you decide to stay there?
Just like, he was just really energetic. The first phone call we had, he was really just like deep and personal, like the questions he was asking, like why I wanted to go and like what things I was looking for. And just, he's a great dude. And I like, he really taught me a lot going into that. And I was like, I can't really pass up on him. He's played in the Big Ten. He's coached in the Pac-12. I'm like, I can't really pass this up. And I saw his vision where he just wanted to see the program, and I wanted to be a part of that. So yeah.
Now, awesome. Now, Michael didn't show up by himself. He brought Bill Komar, who we've gotten to know from his time at IU, and one of the most entertaining people we've ever had on this show, Jamal Meeksy Meeks. What was it like to be playing for Meeks?
He's an energetic dude. Like, he never has a – you never see him have a bad day. He's always smiling. He's always making jokes, but he's always going to be there for you at the end of the day. And I still talk to him now. He's just a good dude. He's a great dude. Yeah.
Now, one thing that you know, people talk a lot about in college basketball now is the transfer portal and how much it has changed the game of basketball. And sometimes you have coaches who really fight to keep their players and even try to make things difficult in some cases for their players to transfer. My understanding is that Michael was very supportive of you in your process. Can you talk about how he was and what was his reaction when you told him that you were probably going to go to Indiana?
I mean, yeah, he was surprised for sure. But like, I told him that and told him where I was looking about going and stuff like that. Just where if they were to call like schools in mind, he was really supportive. You know, he was just really supportive, and he's like, anything I can do to help you, let me know. And he just really was a supportive guy. Enjoyed him having a coach as a coach. So.
Right.
I would think another thing that would have made it a little more difficult to leave was you're playing really well. You've got this great coaching staff there, and you guys really started winning last year, and the fans really started showing up. Like, Michael and company, along with you and the players, started to build something. What was it like last season from where you started with the program and your career there to see those stands get filled up and you guys notch a bunch of W's?
That was kind of like the growth I wanted to come into Ball State and kind of go into going. And just seeing that, it was kind of like you were kind of in a movie at some time. Like, you were seeing everybody show up to the games. You're like, whoa, where was this at? And we're winning games. And it was just amazing to be with the teammates you've been working hard with the last 2 years. And just seeing our work, you know, show out and people are wanting to come out and watch us. It was really cool for my teammates and I.
All right, before we get to landing in Indiana and meeting Woody and the coaches, some more personal stuff that we want to know. Are you a movie guy? Do you watch movies?
Yeah, I'm a movie guy.
Give us, do you have a top three or three favorites that pop to your head? What are they?
Oh man, I like Disney movies. So, but like top three movies, I don't know. I'll say Monsters, Inc. is pretty good. It's a good movie. I like that. I like Toy Story. Oppenheimer was a good movie too. I just watched that too. So that's like top five movie.
And all too. Very similar. Very similar movies. Oppenheimer and Monsters, Inc.
Yes, but nah, those are
That's a good choice.
Okay, I do wonder, you take this in any direction you want it as far as TV shows go, but... And look, it's set in like the 80s, so maybe it's more familiar to me. But for a guy growing up in a small town in Indiana, what about Stranger Things? Did that feel like, oh, hey, man, this is good. This is like us riding bikes around our small Indiana town, fighting the evil government.
Oh, man. It was, I liked it. I did. I've watched it like over and over just to see if I missed things. But now it's cool seeing, oh, wow, like this is Indiana. This is kind of based on a true story, whatever. It was cool to watch that and enjoy that and be like, oh, yeah, we used to ride bikes all the time around town. And yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, like Hawkins doesn't feel that different from downtown Winchester, does it?
No, not really. But I mean, that was, yeah, I mean, There's differences, but nah, I didn't feel that much different, to be honest.
Well, they did shoot it in Georgia, so they're like, I was exactly going out into the woods, and I'm like, that's not
woods. That's not, definitely not. But
also,
yeah.
I do want to just clarify one thing, Peyton. Stranger Things is not based on a true story.
Bro, that's what I heard. That's what I was hearing.
No, whoever told you that is lying to you.
Man, now I'm mad now because crazy.
But look, I'm going to defend you, Peyton, because there's stuff going on, like with the telekinesis and all that. Like the CIA has been doing those programs for quite some time. At least they were back in the 70s.
I don't know. I ain't going to agree here.
Yeah, you don't want to put that out there. They're listening. They're listening.
No, that's all on record.
It's a great movie. That's all I'm going to say to that.
I agree. All right, TV shows. So we talked about Stranger Things. Do you have some other favorite TV shows growing up? What were your favorite TV shows? Are you an animation guy? It seems like from your movie choices, no?
Not like anime and stuff like that, but like, I don't know. TV shows, I like Suits. I'm really big on Suits right now.
That's like that's the number one show on Netflix. It's had this resurgence. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Suits are like All American. That's a good move. That's a good TV show. Another one that I watch all the time, Drake and Josh. That was the one I really grew up on that I liked. So, yeah.
Great call.
Okay, yeah. Now, what about the movie Hoosiers?
That's one of my favorite movies of all time. That's the one you're like, it makes you want to go out in the backyard and the driveway, go shoot some shots. But nah, it's always, that's a movie that always motivates me. I'm like, oh man, that's cool.
Good. All right. Make sure your teammates who didn't grow up in Indiana and are, you know, all of a much younger generation than that movie, some of them haven't seen it. A couple of them, I don't think had even heard of it. So it's like you and Trey and Anthony, you Indiana guys, you need to make sure that those guys know what's up with that film.
Okay. I'll do my best.
And what about music? Are you a music guy? What do you listen to?
I like rap. I like pop, R&B. That's kind of my, I don't like country. That's bottom line. If you playing that, I got to leave the room. You got to turn it off. Sorry. That's not my thing.
Go easy. Cause Eric was just at the Darius Rucker concert. So, you know,
okay. If you want to, that's my favorite country artist. If we're going to, I don't like it, but I like him. He's cool. So
he is very cool. Give me your three favorite artists.
Oh man. I like Brent Faiyaz, Drake, and Lil Baby. That's my top three. So,
you like Lil Baby better than Da Baby?
Yes.
And you like Lil Baby better than Lil Uzi Vert?
Yes.
And you like Lil Baby more than Lil Romeo?
I've never listened to that dude's music, so I don't.
It's from a different time.
What do you think about Da Baby Vert? You like him?
Oh, man.
All right. Give us the first meeting or conversation with Mike Woodson. Obviously, Indiana gets involved. There's mutual interest. But what? Give us the first time you met Woody and what your impression of him was and what he said to you that made you realize this is a guy I want to play for.
Like the first meeting was when I went to visit, but like first conversation was on the phone, and he was just saying he's really interested and wants me to come play for him. And wants me to come down for a visit. And then when I came down to visit, I'm like, wow, I'm really about to meet Woody, like an Indiana legend. And I'm like kind of starstruck. Like that's kind of how I was the last first couple of days. I'm like, am I really here? It really still hasn't sunk in now, but like seeing him right there, I'm like, he really wants me to play for him. I'm like, wow. But nah, he's a really great dude. He's really, he tells you how it is, but he's going to fight for you. He loves you. And he's just a great dude. And yeah, it's the dude I want to play for.
Could you talk about, and I don't know if you went to some games growing up, if you've been there before, but could you talk about on that visit when they take you out onto Assembly Hall court and they show you the hype video? How did that feel for you?
Oh man, I'm like, wow, they doing all this like not just for me, but it seemed like, you know, like it was a cool moment, and just seeing that and seeing my parents' eyes light up. My brother, he's like, you got to come to IU, man. You got to, like, and just seeing his eyes light up and him being excited for me. I was like, I can't say no to this.
Look, you obviously have aspirations to play basketball professionally and to make a living out of this. And you mentioned that one of your, which I actually really respect, that you said one of your weaknesses the first couple of years has been conditioning, and you've got to get that better. We were fortunate enough to, at the Fantasy Experience this last week, and Cliff walked us through the presentation that he gives to players and kind of how he walks players through what he believes in. I would imagine you're spending a lot of time with Cliff, and that Cliff is really important for you. Can you talk about meeting Cliff and kind of what he does mean to you, even in your short time so far in Bloomington?
I've been like, Cliff's been with the Bengals and all that stuff, so I've been following him for a while and just seeing how he's transformed people's bodies. And he just, when everybody talks about Cliff, he's like, he's a really good dude. He's really about you as a person, and just getting to know that, and then getting to meet him with him in person, I was like, wow, like this dude knows what he's talking about. And just seeing how everybody's bodies transform, I'm like, I got to get into this. I want to be a part of this. And just meeting Cliff, he's just a really great dude. Yeah, he's really helped me a lot conditioning wise and just getting better. And yeah, we're spending a lot of time with Cliff, but like it's a good time. And he really loves everybody. He really does mean well to everybody. And he's going to work you hard, but you know, at the end of the day, he has your best interest.
No doubt, going from the MAC to the Big Ten, you're stepping into a much more physical league. Have you even noticed in practice, you know, I don't know if you're going up against Malik, who are some of the guys you're banging down in the post with, but have you already realized, oh, I need to step up my game as far as just, I mean, you're going to go up against Zach Edey. He's 7'9", 480 pounds. Can you tell the difference already even in practice about the physicality?
Like the physicality wise, I mean, I play physical. So it's like, I don't know how to, like, it's physical. The physicality is definitely more than it is at Ball State and all that stuff in the MAC. But like, I say like more like different is like the getting up and down the court, like the speed of the game is a lot quicker here than it is in the MAC, and just getting used to that. But the physicality wise, I feel like I'm kind of used to it. Like it's definitely something I'm like every day, like you got to bring it or you better bring it every day. That's it. Yeah.
One thing Woody is fond of telling new players is that he would love to bust their ass if he was still playing. Has he said that to you? And how quickly did that happen?
He said, funny thing, he said that yesterday in the weight room. He was lifting weights. He's like, if I was 20 years old, I would, you know, he says that to everybody. He's like, all right, big fella. All right, big fella. I set a screen on him in practice. He was going through defense. He's like, set a screen on me. And he ran to him. He's like, okay, big fella, I know you that strong now. But nah, he's a good dude. And yeah, that was, he's always, he says that to me. I don't know. I don't remember the first time he said that, but yeah, that's
awesome. That's awesome. Yeah.
Now, Eric and I, despite being, you know, old, small, and unathletic, we do love to set a screen when the opportunity arises. We'll hunt for screens. Do you really enjoy that part of the game?
Setting screens, that's a thing. Like, as a big, it's you love and hate it, because either the refs are on your side. No hate the refs out there. They're either on your side or they – or I wouldn't say to dislike you, but that's how I feel on the court. But, like, I like setting screens and, like, getting everybody else open. And that goes in part with what I was talking about, diving for basketballs and rebounding the ball and stuff like that. So,
don't you find that as a big man, and you're a big, big man, that your size is your worst enemy at times, because the refs don't – like, if you set a regular pick and a guy goes flying, they'll call a foul on you even though you didn't deserve the foul. Or if you're on offense and people are swatting at you and it doesn't affect you the way it would affect somebody weaker, they don't give you the benefit of the doubt. That must be frustrating.
Like in high school, and like high school is bad because you couldn't even like touch a dude, and like I was like really a lot taller than everybody in high school, and in college it was kind of getting better. But yeah, I was watching some Big Ten games, and like I don't see them call like moving screens or whatnot. So I'm like, I'm kind of like, okay, like I can actually set some screens now. So yeah,
nice.
Yeah. Well, okay. Let's take us through, because I know you wanted to sleep on it, but could you take us through the moment you decided you would be an Indiana Hoosier and how you shared that with your family and when you told Coach Woodson and the staff that you were coming to Bloomington?
Yeah, it was – I knew it when I was in the car going back home with my brother and my mom and dad. And I'm like – they were asking me questions and stuff like that. And I'm like, well, first thing, they thought they did a bad job on the visit because they were like worrying that I wasn't going to come there or whatnot. And I'm like, I really do enjoy it. I really want to go. I really did. And I was on the way home. I'm like, I told my parents, I'm like, yeah, I want to go. And I just like, I wanted to sleep on it and then tell them the next day and make sure like, this is really what I want to do. So I called my dad, my mom, like, this is what I want to do the next day. And I'm like, yeah. So, but it was a really happy moment. I couldn't stop smiling for like the next week. I was ecstatic, and I was like, I can't wait to get over here. So
do you call Woody? Is that what happens? Do you place
I called Woody. But I don't want to put Woody on the spot, but he didn't answer me at first. But I'm like, he's not really a phone guy. So I'm like, I'm not going to take that to heart. So I called B. Wallace. I'm like, hey, whenever Woody is available to call, I want to tell him that I want to be a part of the team and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Nice. Very nice. All right. So let's talk about your teammates. You get to campus. You got the 8 weeks of summer that you got to work with them. Let's talk about the big men that you're working out with and in the group with. I assume that's Khalil, Malik. Does Caleb play with the big men a little bit?
I think he could be both. Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't Khalil really work and out Malik. With him.
But yeah. Khalil and Malik, for sure. What do you see from both of those guys? Break down each one for us, and what's it like playing against them?
I'll start with Malik. Malik's a physical dude. He's really stretching the floor now and able to get a shot off and hit shots at a high volume now. And he's able to post up guys and space out the floor, and that's what you want to do in rebounding. And Khalil, he's 7'7". He's just – and yeah, he blocks shots. He's hitting threes. He's really a force underneath the rim. So getting to guard those two guys every day and learning a lot of stuff is really good. So,
okay. So there's another guy who can play in or out, or apparently do anything anywhere. What have you seen from McKenzie so far?
Oh man, just seeing. Yeah, he's a top rated recruit coming out of high school, and Yeah, he can shoot the leather off the ball, and he's a really hard worker. But not seeing him in practice is really cool, and seeing how everybody works is really cool too. Yeah.
Now, one guy that we've gotten to know a little bit, he's been on the podcast a couple times, and I would imagine he's the point guard that you've been working with a lot, would be Gabe Cupps. I would think that you've been running with Gabe, who takes as much joy in feeding a big man and making the right pass as he does from hitting a shot for himself. What's it like playing with Gabe?
He's one of the hardest workers I know, and I see him in the gym every morning working out. And, you know, off the court, he's a good kid too, really good dude. On the court, he's really a point guard. He's looking for the extra pass. He's getting everybody else involved, but also looking for a shot. He can really shoot the ball too. So just playing with the point guard like that is just it's good. And we kind of feed off each other in the practices and all that. So.
Now, Ward will appreciate this because he loves it when I try to use the young kid language. Have you in these 8 weeks, the 8 weeks over the summer or any open gyms, caught any bodies?
Why'd you say it like that?
Isn't that how you say it?
Caught a body. You didn't have to like pause and like say anyway. Okay. Yes, but I ain't gonna put my teammates out there like that. But yes,
But you've dunked on some people in Assembly Hall already, or Cook Hall.
Yes, I have.
I like it.
Look, there's some youngsters in there. There's some transfers like yourself. A lot of new components to this team. What are you seeing from the Wiley veteran leaders, the seniors, the captains, X, Trey, Anthony? What are they doing to bring you guys all together as one cohesive unit?
They're just really like communication. They really talk and they really want everybody to be involved. And we got a really new team, so they make sure everybody like transfers to freshmen's all on the same page. And like their communication is really the big thing, I would say.
All right. So you did the 8 weeks of summer.
Yeah.
Then there was a little bit of a break. Mm-hmm. And then last weekend was the Hoosier Fantasy Experience, which included the fantasy camp where we, of course, won the championship. I don't know if I mentioned it, but here's the net.
90 seconds.
No.
You have 90 seconds left.
Here's the trophy. No big deal.
I love it.
But in all honesty, what I do want to ask you is that really was your first time to get kind of an introduction to fans being around the whole weekend. You got to interact personally with fans, the fan fest, you got to take a bunch of autographs. What was the experience like of this weekend for you, especially knowing that Indiana was your dream school to go to growing up? What was this weekend like for you?
It was amazing just seeing how everybody really loves IU and just how like seriously they take it. I'm like, I've never seen this before, and like seeing how everybody really loves just the Hoosiers and the Hoosier State. It opened my eyes. I'm like, I'm at the right spot.
Love that.
It's such a good vibe around the program now. What is it like, whether it be the staff, the team, the players, like off the court? When we pass through there for a couple of days and few hours around it, it seems like a good time. And clearly you guys are all going to work your asses off and already have this summer. But off the court, is it just really kind of one big happy family, like it seems from the outside?
Like we got a whole bunch of personalities on the team, so it's really, we're all like blending together, and it's kind of just, yeah, it's a big family, and like everybody wants to work hard on the court and off the court. It's just everybody's making sure everybody's good, and you know, we're all hanging together. So yeah, I would say it's a big family.
I wanted to ask you, I thought this was funny. Last year with Ball State, you guys played in a Bahamas tournament at Baja Mar.
Yeah.
And Indiana just announced that Indiana's playing in the Bahamas that. Battle for Atlantis next year, which will be your senior year. How excited? I mean, not specifically about just the Bahamas, but when you go to a place like Indiana, you go for these bigger opportunities, right? So this year, you're going to New York and playing at Madison Square Garden for two games. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're going down to Atlanta and playing Auburn. You're playing Kansas at home. And then the following year, you're going to the Battle for Atlantis, which is, along with the Maui Invitational, the biggest non-conference tournament that exists in college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
How excited are you for this platform?
I'm excited. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to come to IU and just seeing how they put their players out there and they put them in marquee games and just seeing they go travel places in New York, Bahamas, whatever. Like, just wanting to be a part of that. And it's I'm excited about it. Like, I'm smiling about it now. Like, it's an exciting time, and I can't wait to be involved with it.
So here we are. We're sending you off to your first year at Indiana University. What for you, both individually and for the team, would make this season a success?
Wait, real quick. You mean besides winning this already?
Time's up, pal. No, sorry. I was talking about meaningful stuff.
Sorry.
I would say winning a national championship and winning a Big Ten championship, like, the individual stuff is going to come, like, with that. So, like, I don't know. I'm not much of an individual guy, and I just want to win. So when you start winning, a lot of stuff, you know, feels better. So, and the individual goals and all that stuff will come with it. So,
do you have a favorite Bloomington food spot yet?
Buffalo's.
Yes.
Now look, Peyton, you are of age, and one, I could look. I was not responsible in my social activities and an undergraduate at Indiana University. But when you have a moment, like maybe you did in the summer, to go out to a bar, where would you like to go and hang out and be social?
To be honest, I'm only 20, so I can't even go to the bar. So, nah.
Yeah. Well,
that's kind of
good answer.
Great answer.
Yeah.
Good answer. All right. So, Buffalo's, have you done Mother Bear's Pizza yet?
I have.
What do you think? How do you grade it?
I think it's all right. Yeah. What are we grading out of? 10 or 100?
10. Out of 10.
7, 8.
Wow. Is there a pizza in Bloomington that you would give a higher score to?
I haven't really ate any pizza. That's kind of not healthy for me. So I don't really eat pizza.
By the way, you know, Cliff told us something about your like measurables that like your muscle density, like the makeup of the fibers of your muscles are better or higher than anyone on the campus of Indiana, more than all the football team.
I didn't know that, but
Yeah. You're like you're pound for pound the strongest dude on campus. I do wonder, is there any part of you when you know, I don't know if you watch NFL games, but do you ever be like, man, I could go out there as a tight end and just beat the shit out of the whole league? Like, do you ever see yourself like catching a pass from Anthony Richardson in Indianapolis? Because I do.
Like, I did play football in middle school for 2 years. That's the only 2 years I played football, and I played tight end, and I played outside linebacker and running back. Like, yeah, sometimes I'm like, I do miss it, but I'm like, they were going after my knees, and I'm trying to have my knees for basketball. But that would be cool to know, play on in the NFL. I don't know about the Colts.
Hey, whoa. Who do you like?
I'll let you guess.
The Bengals.
Oh, no. Come on.
I'm going to say.
I don't think you're going to get it, but we'll see.
I'm just going to guess the Rams.
Oh, no.
Well, I was thinking the St. Louis connection because the Cardinals, maybe. Is it the Bears?
No, my cousins love the Bears. I do not. I'm a Giants fan. Giants.
Why the Giants?
Victor Cruz.
Oh, all right. I mean, okay.
Yeah, Eli Manning, Victor Cruz.
All right. But not bad. Yeah.
I guess you're a little too young to have appreciated Peyton's prime, but you're going to get back on the Colts train. Anthony Richardson's going to bring you around. Oh, yeah.
Look, he's not buying it.
I'm not all for it just yet. I don't know. I got to see him play in an official NFL game, and we'll find out.
That's fair.
I don't know.
All right. Peyton, look, it's your first week of class, your first Friday off. We've taken up over an hour of your time. Hey, man, Ward and I talked about it after this weekend, getting to meet you, even though you ignored us for many months. But now that I hear your reasoning, I actually respect it and think it was the wise decision. But you have an infectious personality, my friend. Your smile lights up the room. You are so present and invested. You were invested in our championship team, but you were invested in the whole weekend. Every time I saw you, you were talking to somebody. You had a smile on your face, talking about Indiana being your dream school. It's what we all want to hear. You seem to be and are a team first guy. When I asked Michael Lewis, you know, what are we getting in Peyton? And I watched you a bunch last year. Michael said, you're not going to find somebody who works harder. Like, he will bust his ass for you, and Indiana's his dream school. So we are so happy to have you at Indiana. I'm so happy that your path, no matter how many turns it took, got you here. I do want to ask one question that I think is a funny story. I heard that last year at Ball State, there was like an NIL opportunity for you, and you guys, you and your family, like, turned it down because either you thought it was illegal or you thought like you didn't want to deal with the taxes. Is that true?
No, I wouldn't say it was either one of those things. I don't know. Money NIL was not like that's not what I want to play for. So like, I want to play basketball. I want to get to my dreams. Like, money's like the last thing I'm really prioritizing. That's my reasoning.
Well, you say all the things we want to hear, but not because you know that's what we want to hear. It's clearly just who you are. And we're so glad you're at IU, knowing that Coach Woodson and his staff are recruiting players like you and all your teammates who we've gotten to know through the show and weekends like this last weekend. We just couldn't be more excited that you and your game and your attitude and personality are now officially Indiana Hoosiers.
Yeah, I'm ecstatic. It was great meeting you guys and continue to talk with you guys. And it's just, I'm happy to be here and I'm excited. So, yeah.
Well, Peyton, thank you again. Thanks for taking the time. And remember,
thank you guys.
Remember, the champs. We'll always have the championship.
Yeah, yes, sir.
That was our guest.
I mean, Ward, you and I talked about it, right? We met him over the weekend. And we were like, this guy's awesome. I mean, this guy is just so awesome. Well, and then getting a dedicated hour plus with him, what you just said at the end was the perfect thing. He says every single thing that Indiana fans want to hear, but not because we want to hear them.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
It just pours out of him. It just, team first. Dive on the floor, take charges, work hard, attack the rim with a reckless abandon, not playing for money. And I'll even add in the fact that he likes Monsters, Inc. and Toy Story. I mean, honestly, he's just a real dude. I love him. He's comfortable in his own skin.
Yeah, you know, considering your attitude about him as we were leaving Buffaloes, knowing he was in the car waiting to pick up Anthony, you're like, "Well, why is that guy ignored us?" We interact with him for 3 minutes at the curbside, and we walk back into Buffaloes, going like, "What a great dude! That dude's awesome!" And that within himself, he has that fun, sweet, funny, gentle giant. But then he gets onto the hardwood. And he's just a beast, and he's just going to go after you. It's the best of both worlds.
It is. And again, I go back to Ward, in this day and age where the transfer portal is mostly there for people to either maximize NIL, right? We know that, or go to a place where I'm going to be guaranteed shooting and I'm going to be the lead dog and I'm going to start. This guy could have shot 20 times a game in Ball State for the next 2 years or gone somewhere else where he would be guaranteed to start. He decides to come to Indiana, doesn't really care about the NIL, doesn't really care if he's going to start, doesn't care how much he's going to play, just wants to come to his dream school and compete. And God, team first, you know, balls to the wall effort. I'll tell you what else. The fact that he admitted and acknowledged that conditioning has been a problem for him, like, that is that just shows, I think, a level of maturity that you don't get that often from these guys who many of them think they're just invincible and already a fully formed product. He knows he's not, and he's coming to a place that's going to help get him there.
Well, and I think that's admirable, too, whereas he's clearly all about the team and this being his dream school, and success is defined by championships, not by individual accolades. He's going to become a better basketball player in these next couple years by going against IU players in practice and going against Big Ten and other blue blood opponents when the season rolls around. And so I think it's to say, hey, it's not about just getting Star Wars number statistics, no matter where the school is. It's about going against the best competition possible. No doubt he'll be a much better player 2 years from now than he would if he stuck with the MAC in that level of competition for the rest of his collegiate career.
I also loved hearing him talk about, you know, Malik and Khalil are obviously guys who have an expanded game. Khalil, we knew coming in. Malik, we knew wanted to work on it. But Peyton's a guy who's never had to guard anybody outside the blocks before. And the fact that you know he's got the strength down low to battle a guy in the blocks, but now he's got to guard guys that are stepping out to the three-point line where he's got to use lateral movement, that's going to make him better. And when he said that they're expanding his game so that he could bring the ball up the court a little bit, can you imagine a full-speed Peyton Sparks bringing the ball up the court?
I would not want to be waiting for him down in the lane, certainly. And I did think it was interesting that he thought the bigger adjustment was on the speed of the game rather than the physicality. And certainly, you know, he showed up ready for the physicality of the Big Ten, but you got to be excited that he knows that's something he's working on. And I'm sure Cliff's helping him where, you know, he may not need to play like 15 straight minutes, or maybe he will. You never know what's going to happen in the course of the season, but that is the bigger adjustment. Cause I kind of think of those, you know, smaller, lighter MAC guys zipping up and down the court. But no, I think everything is notched up when you get to the Big Ten.
Yeah, and the truth is, like, Kent State was a really physical team. They're smaller, for sure. But, you know, and what's his name? The guy who used to be the Illinois coach, Groach?
Gross. Yeah, I like to just call him it. Gross.
But he's at Akron. They play a really difficult, tough style. And Peyton is a guy who looks for physicality. So, you know, and physical contact. So I think what's going to be surprising is just the overall size, you know, at the Big Ten there, everybody's bigger, but yeah, you're right. The speed, I wasn't expecting him to say that. And again, it's great that he knows that that's a weakness and where he can focus with Cliff. And you know, Cliff is all about upping his, you know, conditioning to make sure that he can go. And here's the other part. He's not going to be asked to play 30 minutes a game.
Yeah,
you know, we're at Ball State.
He can just get in there for his runs and just get after it. And I love sort of the complementary components of our front court. You know, we know Matt could come down there if he needs to, if the matchup calls for it. But when you think about just the sheer height and skill and athleticism of Khalil, you've got Malik with a really nice touch around the rim, and he can stretch now, but he's big and strong. You have Anthony, who's super fast and athletic and bouncy and gets after it. And long, and then you've got Peyton, just who can just push anybody out of the way he wants to. Depending on the matchups, I think you've got a lot of pieces to work with there.
I got to tell you, the idea of thinking about, and I do think this is why, like, exhibition games and pre-conference games are going to be so much fun, because I've never been a big believer in watching a second unit play 5-on-5, but Gabe Kupp's running point, CJ Gunn at the 2, Caleb Banks at the 3, Anthony Walker at the 4, and Peyton Sparks at the 5, that's a fun unit to, like, get excited about. I mean, it's, like you said, there's so many complementary pieces there, and I don't know, I, like, get really excited about, especially early in the season, I do kind of want to see that unit play together and just see what they're like.
Absolutely, because it's not only like, hey, these are guys we're going to count on this season, but it's also where the program's at. Like, that's the future, I should say, because, you know, I think a lot of the guys in the starting five this year won't be around next year.
Right.
And so for those guys to get crucial run together, that's going to help us not just this season, but beyond.
It's also, when you go through each one of those guys in the second unit, they are the perfect prototype for that position. Gabe Cupps is a perfect point guard. Like, that's what he is built for. CJ Gunn is a perfect two guard with great size. You know, and obviously his shot's got to come around, but that's what he's supposed to be. Caleb Banks is the perfect modern three. 6'7", 6'8", long, active, can shoot from the outside, is just a scorer. Anthony Walker is the perfect modern four, can stretch it a little, athletic, can run like the day is long. And then Peyton is your beast inside. You know, that is a fun unit to think about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
You know what we forgot?
What?
We didn't have him do, but the sometimes why.
Should I pull it from somebody else?
You got to put Woody in.
Okay. I'll grab
you.
You
got to put Woody in. You got to put Woody in. I just, man, what a great dude. You know, I hate harping on the fantasy camp, but that whole weekend, Fan Fest, fantasy camp, I wish every fan would realize the exposure you get to these guys and how much fun it is, even if all you can do is come to the Fan Fest. The autograph lines, the pictures, the hanging out after, like before and after, just getting to know them a little bit. It is a unique experience, and I hope those who didn't come this last weekend will come next year. And you heard from him. It blew him away, yeah. Right? I mean, like, that was his welcome to Indiana basketball. And we've talked about this, Ward. Of course it's an NIL event. Of course we're raising money to give to NIL because we know that that's going to help Indiana attract the best players and keep the best players. But it is also to show the players you aren't just playing for yourself, your teammates, and your coaches. You are playing for Hoosier Nation. And it is meaningful to these people in a way that I don't think most people are used to thinking about fans as. And I can't help but think that that helps them when they're, you know, having to practice extra early, go that extra, put up those extra 100 shots, do that extra workout that you weren't going to do before. Give it that one extra inch that you didn't have before is for those people that it means everything to.
Because you play for your family, you play for your teammates, you play for your coaches. And I think all of our guys have all of that in spades. They've got great families, great teammates, great coaches. But when, you know, it's coming down to the wire, they're exhausted, and you've got 17,000 of those extra invested fans that they've interacted with. And look, it's hard to get that kind of moment with these players. They're stars, and they're not only Indiana basketball stars, but they also have to go to class, and they also need to have any kind of personal life they can. So, you know, whether they're walking around on campus or going out to get a bite to eat, you know, I'm sure they're happy to sign an autograph or take a picture, but you're not going to get that time that's expressly dedicated by them to meet you and to interact with you, and that they're not rushing off to get to a practice or get to a class. So I think that's what's great about the whole weekend. And of course, the Fan Fest in particular, they are there to do that. And it isn't about a paycheck for them. You can see it in their eyes and what they say and how they say it. They love it. And yeah, I'm just so glad we got to do it again, despite what anybody in Indianapolis was trying to do.
Yeah, I agree. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier Hysterics for the hysterics. No E.
No I.
Too long. Too long. I know you were distracted by the championship net, but let's do it again.
I was nauseated by the championship net.
Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier Hysterics for the hysterics, no E.
Put that down and I'll say it.
Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier Hysterics for the hysterics, no E.
No Y. I said no Y. Because I knew you were going to pull some shit.
We will talk to you next week.
Give us some slack. You know we'll be right back. We're not going far, we're just getting more cigars. We love cigars.